Now, when we turn to the Gospel of John and stand before the cross, we see a gruesome picture. A picture that does not look like the healing announced in the Isaiah passage. The picture that we see, gruesome though it is also like the picture that we see in the world today. Justice perverted, violence inflicted to the innocent, rejection of the way of the Lord, the way of love and peace. And yet, this is exactly where God chooses to work, because Isaiah says, by his wounds we are healed. When we come closer to the cross through the Gospel of John, the Gospel becomes a mirror, the cross. We see here what it reveals. The cross exposes the depth of human brokenness. It reveals how easily truth is rejected, how quickly justice is abandoned, how deeply systems of domination are embedded. And yes, we see this every day, how fake news have actually shaped the minds of people. Isaiah, yet even in this picture, insists, by his wounds we are healed. What John shows us is that at that very moment, the moment of justice perverted, of violence inflicted to the innocent, of the rejection of the way of God, the exposure of human brokenness, Isaiah, John actually, tells us something deeper is happening. God's greater love is revealed. Greater than the gruesome picture we see. Because Jesus is not simply a victim. No. He is offering no ordinary offering. He also suffers no ordinary suffering. It is rather redemptive suffering that he suffers. When Jesus stood before Pilate, you may mistake him to be powerless, but no, Jesus was purposeful, steadfast and purposeful, not powerless. When he carries the cross ultimately, after being handed over to the crowds who shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," when Jesus was handed over, we may mistake it as though Jesus was defeated. No, but Jesus was offering of himself. Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends, he once said. When he is lifted up on the cross, in shame, you may think, in sorrow, you may see it, especially when you see it in the eyes of his mother, in the eyes of those who loved him. But no, when he is lifted up, he is lifted up in glory. The hour has come, he said. Father, glorify your Son. So John's Gospel invites us to see things differently, to see the cross, yes, as mirroring, but also the cross as a way of victory, a way of victory. What looks like defeat is actually glory. What appears as powerlessness is divine authority. What seems as rejection is the beginning of a new way. This is the paradox of the cross. So, in John 19, that's exactly what we see. We see something different. A victory that comes in defeat, seemingly. A glory that comes in shame, seemingly. And so, as we look deeper into the cross, we hear Jesus' words. And Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he says, "Here is your mother." At this very moment of death, Jesus does something remarkable, something new. He extends kinship beyond blood lines. A new family is formed. So the cross is not the end, it is rather the beginning, the birth of an alternative community that loves not only because we belong to the same bloodline, but simply because we all have received the same love. John's gospel invites us to see differently. When Jesus cries out on the cross, I thirst, indeed, on one level, this is physical, this is human. A dying man is gasping for water, and indeed, we would know this. But in John's gospel, nothing is only physical. It rather gives us a more deeper truth. This is the same Jesus who said to the woman by the well, "Whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst." Now, the giver of living water is thirsty. "I thirst" becomes more than a statement. It becomes a cry. Maybe it's a cry for those who are displaced because of environmental injustice, because of the bombs that actually destroy the ecosystem, the poor that lack water, the earth that is stripped and depleted, the cry of communities facing drought and hunger due to greed and environmental collapse. On the cross, Jesus again cries, "I thirst, I thirst." The cross reveals a greater truth, the greater depth of God's redemptive love. And that love is something radical. It does not avoid suffering. It enters suffering. It enters it. Light shines in the darkness. It enters it. It transforms suffering and redeems suffering. So on the cross, when Jesus cries out, "It is finished," this is not a cry of defeat. It is not a cry to say, "They have done it. They have done it. They have rejected me. They have crucified me. They have killed me, innocent though I am." It's not that cry. It is rather a declaration of victory to say, "It is finished." "It is finished" is a revelation of God's love completed, the work of redemption fulfilled, the pattern of an alternative community of a new way is now established. It is finished means that light is stronger than darkness. Love is stronger than hatred. Peace is stronger than violence. When the cry, "It is finished," on the cross is heard, it means that love serves rather than controls, as Jesus showed us on that Thursday when he wrapped a towel around his waist. Love gives rather than takes, as Jesus offers up his life for the ransom of many. Love restores rather than destroys. So when we hear the cry, "It is finished," it is a declaration that love has gained victory. Love has gained victory. So indeed, by his wounds, we are healed. The communities are healed. The environment is healed. Our relationships are healed and restored. The way we view one another is healed. So these wounds of Christ are not meaningless, they are transformative. The suffering is not wasted, it is redemptive. The cross is not a failure. It is God's deepest work of love. So, let us not live as those who have not received this healing, this transformation. Let us live as those who are healed. You see, I once shattered my ankle, actually. And when the surgeon saw it, he said, "Oh, you did a good work of this." Shattered it. Both sides, plates were put. In total, about 12 screws were inserted. And then, when the foot was healing and I asked the doctor, he said to me, "No, don't worry, you're young, the bones will knit very well for you." So I was not worried. And then he asked again, "Do you want the screws to remain or do you want to take them off?" I said, "Take them off, please, because you said I'm young." So he took them off. Then I had to go for physio. And the physio was the toughest of the therapies. And the physiotherapist said to me, "Your calf muscle is weak. We have to strengthen it. And this is the ankle that you shattered. It carries all the weight. So you have to be strong. So exercise." I did. But every time I would climb up that bicycle, the physiotherapist said to me, "No, man, your foot is no longer broken. Your ankle is no longer broken. Climb up. Get on the bike. Get on it." And I thought, "No, man, it still feels like it's paining." Yet the bones have knitted. When she taught me to walk down and up the stairs, she would again shout at me, "Your bones have healed. Walk. Walk. They have healed. It's all in the mind." Let us live as those who have been healed by his wounds. "No more this," Jesus said at the Garden of Gethsemane. when Peter cut off a soldier's ear. Jesus was saying, no more violence. A new way is established, and it's the way of peace and love. So, don't walk as though you are not healed. You are healed. You are healed to love, to embrace, to welcome, to find peace, to be comforted. You are healed. So, no more revenge, but love, restoration, reconciliation, and peace. Because by his wounds, we are healed. Amen. I would never on Good Friday not ask us to sing this hymn, so we have to sing it because